This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Welcome back to Buckets. No Billy today, but my guest is a well-known basketball podcaster. I'm sure he's well-versed enough to carry the load for both of us. Please welcome to the show, J.E. Skeets.
You're getting buckets.
How's it going?
Sir, how's it going over there? You're in Georgia, right?
Yeah, Atlanta, Georgia, the ATL, the Dirty South. Going all right. I don't leave my house. So.
I saw on an Instagram story you were at a frat party last night. What was that well, about?
Hey, look, that beer pong's not going to play itself, all right?
Yeah, that's crazy. No mask. There must have been 500 people there. You crowd surf.
Yeah, it's very tough to shoot a ping pong ball with a mask on. It's I'm a bit of a mouth breather as it is.
Yeah.
So it's very difficult.
Right, exactly. Jesus Christ. Well, I'm glad you stayed safe.
Yeah,
more
yeah,
or less.
Yeah. Go Dogs, though. Go Dogs.
Yeah. you guys are recording, I should say, from the No Dunks podcast, J.E. Skeets. You guys are recording a podcast every day, seemingly sometimes twice a day. Is that safe to say?
Yeah, we are, because we try and sprinkle in our Beach Steppin' podcast, which is our mailbag-only podcast. We try and do that at least once a week, and, you know, we get some... it's died off as we've gotten into the playoffs, because it's like basketball, but we were getting, like, a lot of, like, one-on-one interviews and stuff like that. So, yeah, We've been pumping out the content. Good, 7, 8, or 9 podcasts a week. Too many yeah. podcasts, some say.
Some could argue. Not me, though. Not me. I listen to all of them, but some could argue that it's too many. But yeah, if you're ever jonesing for more basketball podcasts, and Buckets releases once every 31 days, I think, at this point. So if you want 91 episodes of basketball podcasts in between those episodes, you should listen to No Dunks for sure. There's no specific thing I wanted to talk about today, but I know, just in case you're missing your television show, I thought I can hit you with a lot of TV segments. Do you guys remember like the TV segments you had to like sort of brainstorm then execute on? Do you have any examples of those from your starters days?
Like segments that we sort of crafted and came up with?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, some have trickled or found their way into the podcast, but yeah, the Up-Down Report...
Yep.
And Is This News, where we give you a headline from the NBA world and debate whether it's even newsworthy.
That's good.
Well, I mean, lots of, you know, Up-Down Report, for those that don't know, or thumbs up, thumbs down on a topic, stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like, you know, ways of like gamifying talking about hoops. 100%. So I'm gonna hit you with some silly segment ideas. We can chat about it for a little and we'll hop around a bit.
Okay.
All right. This first one that I thought of, Rona or Nona, did these basketball players have coronavirus in the last 6 months?
Okay.
All right, ready?
Okay.
Nona or Rona? Malcolm Brogdon. Nona or Rona?
You actually know the answers to this, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I was able to research
okay,
a little
and
have a list.
I'm going to say Brogdon was a Nona.
Brogdon was a Rona.
He was.
Yeah. He was. It was going to delay his arrival into the bubble, and it may have a little bit, but he ended up playing these games. Malcolm Brogdon, Pacers point guard, was a Rona. Do you think the Bucks are missing him right now, or they would have been down however much without him?
I think they're definitely missing him, because, you know, the big dilemma, because of numbers, because of salaries, was like, do we keep Bledsoe, do we keep Brogdon? Now, they could have technically, if they wanted to pony up the money, could have paid Brogdon as well. You could have had both of them on your roster. But yeah, tough to see what Brogdon did, especially playing with the Rona down in the bubble and comparing it to Bledsoe.
I think Bledsoe also had the Rona.
I was going to say, I don't know if he's coming up later, but I'm pretty sure he is Rona as well. So if I get bonus points on that. But yeah, I think you would right now, just because Brogdon can create his own shot. That's the big thing. And we've seen with the Bucks, you know, trailing right now, heading into obviously a game 5 where they're trying to stay alive against the Heat. They need some other shot creators, and Middleton can do it. He did it in game 4, but man, you could use that in some of these other games. So yeah, I think they're definitely missing Malcolm.
Yeah, I would agree. But down to the Heat is such an insane thing, and like the fact that Giannis goes down and they win their only game, what a crazy turn of events.
Yeah, it was it happens, I think, where a star player goes down and you're already up 3-0 anyway, and you're like, well, they're just gonna roll over and die, let's just let them like cower in the corner and slowly, you know, pack their bags and leave the bubble. talking, they being the Bucks, and they didn't. You know, Middleton caught fire. They got him the ball, like, nonstop, because they were like, well, what else are we going to do? Middleton needs to have one of these 30-plus point games. He caught fire from three, went to work at the free throw line, and it was enough. So, you know, we'll see what happens in Game 5. I think the Heat will close it out. I just think they're a better team. I had them to win it, you know, heading into the whole series. I thought it would go 7, but, yeah, I think they just took their foot off the gas a little bit there in Game 4, and, you know, hopefully it doesn't come back to bite them in the ass. I said if we ever get a team to come back from 3-0, like, it's never happened, right, in NBA history?
Yeah.
If it were to happen, you would probably pick a place like the bubble, right? Like, neutral site games, so no home court advantage. You know, get that off the table. And it's like, it's everything is weird in 2020 as it is. Like, why wouldn't this be the year where someone came back from 3-0? So, you know, we'll see whether or not the Heat can end it.
Also, like, it would be the Bucks, like, the quote-unquote best team in the NBA.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. And if Giannis plays, of course, we don't know with the ankle and all that, but you're right. You got one of the best players in the league, and you were the best defense, and you were one of the best offenses. Like, you would pick a team like that to ultimately pull off the, you know, the unthinkable. But all that said, I'm not betting on that. Yeah.
I did take a look. I'm like, what are the Bucks to win right now? Because they're down 3-0. Would they be, like, 10-1 odds, 20-1 odds to come back? Especially after Giannis went down, they must have been really long shots.
What was it? You don't have any idea?
I looked, I couldn't find it.
Not even on the board. Yeah,
wasn't it on the board? I think it was because Giannis got hurt, and they're like, we don't know how to factor into this equation or whatever. All right. Russell Westbrook, Nona or Rona?
Oh, that's a Rona. That's a Rona.
Yeah. Seems
these
fun.
These are all interesting because... Because remember there was like the dilemma of like, should we even know, right?
Right.
Like, exactly. Should this, and that's funny you brought up the betting lines and stuff like that. Like, some people were like, well, yeah, if you're going to, and the NBA has started to lean heavily into, you know, lines and obviously the gambling angles to the sport. Like, they're going that way. There's money to be made. And, you know, it's coming around. It's legal in some states and stuff like that. But yeah, so if that's the case, then don't you need to know, whether or not that guy's even there or playing, you know, not just because he's got a twisted ankle, but because he's, you know, unfortunately got coronavirus. So yeah, he had it. And I don't know, maybe it's a bit of a reason why he's struggling. You know, he had injuries as well, too. So he had the double whammy.
Yeah, he had like a quad injury.
Yeah. Yeah. So
he's playing so poorly. I can't quite adequately put into words. I'm not like a guy who's like, this guy fucking sucks, trade him, get rid of him. But like, Westbrook is looking awful. Like, he is actively hurting the Rockets right now.
Oh, yes, but you could have inserted what you just said about Russell Westbrook into any podcast over the last 10 years about Russell Westbrook.
I know.
Yeah, and trust me, we did, and we've been doing it that long, that he is so polarizing from game to game. He's so important, of course, to a team's success. So he can obviously take a team to other, like, unworldly heights, or he can literally just tank his team because he's not a three-point shooter. He sometimes falls in the trap of shooting them. He took 7 in game 2. That's not good. He sometimes is sloppy with the ball, so you're turning it over now, like he did in game 2, and the Lakers are going the other way. Like, he's
the
so weird.
The turnovers look awful.
Yeah.
Like, the turnovers are like jumping in the air, throwing it out of bounds. Like, not even like weird lazy passes. Just like throw, like, and against OKC, didn't he have like the driving kick out that went straight out of bounds? You're like, what are you doing?
What are you doing? Yeah, like, you are an all-star, all-NBA caliber player. And then
MVP.
An MVP when you're, and it's like, that's the weird part. He just, from game to game, it's so the highs and lows. Like, but you wouldn't be surprised if he bounces back in game 3 and he's suddenly like, you know, the 30-point triple-double Westbrook and has a really solid game where he's attacking the guys inside on the Lakers. Again, his entire career has been this. I don't think it's ever going to change. And I really do believe teams, like, especially led by LeBron, you can try and, like, wind him up a little bit, right? You can sort of, like, get into Westbrook's head very easily where you're like, oh, yeah, you should shoot that, you know? Or you can, you know, whatever, talk some junk to him. And I think that, you know, he just turns into like a raging bull or something, and it's like
the Hulk.
Hulk. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And that can be good at times, and that can be bad at times. Destructive to his own team. Yeah,
it's like him talking to the coach of the Rockets, D'Antoni, saying, "You wouldn't like me when I'm angry. Like, don't get me pissed off, or I'll fucking sprint and get blocked and throw it." Like, do you see that 1-3 that was like it hit the bottom of the net on the outside of the rim? Like, what is going on there?
Yeah, and then I talked about this on our show at the end of game 2. If you remember, you know, this was a close game, like Lakers-Rockets, and Westbrook picked up his fifth foul. It was a weird call because they went to review, and then it was turned into
ball
a call
after the pass. Yeah, or something.
It was strange. I mean, even the broadcast was like, I think Westbrook got a foul there after looking at it. But anyway, he had five, and D'Antoni keeps him out there because Harden's getting his rest. And it's like LeBron and the Lakers knew, like, we can go right at Westbrook, and he's literally just going to, like, hold the door for us. Yeah, like, here you go. Because he doesn't want to pick up his sixth foul, and he doesn't want to, like, obviously have to go to the bench and not play down the fourth quarter stretch. So, you know, like, they went at him. They went at him, like, three or four times, and I think that was a bad decision from D'Antoni, though I heard some people say, yeah, they were hoping Westbrook would pick up his sixth foul so he could get pulled out, and then maybe they'd like their chances. But we'll see. I still have faith. I've always been a Westbrook stan a little bit. You take the bad with the good, unfortunately, with Westbrook, and he will bounce back. But you're right. I mean, he's been injured. He had the coronavirus, and you know, he's just maybe never been able to get it going here since the restart. Because he was awesome, if you remember, like, in the start of the calendar year, to like
took a backseat a little bit to Westbrook.
Yeah, and he sort of carried them for a good couple of months when they really leaned into playing small ball too. And we'll see if he can sort of find that magic again. He will for a couple games, and then he'll be complete garbage for other ones.
It's great. He's aging in like reverse. Usually it's like, oh, the shot's the last thing to go. It's like, no, his shot went instantly and he's still super athletic. Like, you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to drive less. But now he's like, he's still like insane. Like, when he gets to the basket, you're like, oh my God, why doesn't he just do that all the time?
I know. It's a why not. I'm convinced it's just like the Lakers saying, hey man, bet you can't hit that three. Bet you can't do it.
The Lakers have, like, Westbrook Light and Rondo, where it's, like, this polarizing guy where it's, like, some days he looks like he's killing us, and some days it's like, oh, he's a plus 28. Maybe he is really good.
Some days he's playoff Rondo, and other days he's, like, tanking your team,
The only difference is, like, Rondo's our seventh best player, and Westbrook's their second best player. Yep. So, like, when we have Anthony Davis and they have Russell Westbrook as, like, their number two, I'm not too worried about the Rockets.
Right. You're just worried with the Rockets that they hit 25 to 33s in a game. And even then, they hit 22 in game two and still lost. But, you know, they're such a weird variable team because of the highs and lows of how they play. It's, you know.
I wonder if Rockets fan, like some Rockets fans are like, I don't like this. Like, I know as a opponent, like, I'm watching the Laker games, and like, I would hate to root for the Rockets because I think they're annoying. They shoot like too many threes. But are there any Rockets fans that are like, wait, I also hate Westbrook. For the last 10 years, he was a Thunder and I hated him then. Then we traded fucking four draft picks and Chris Paul, a better player, to get him. And now he's doing terribly. Can I just continue hating Russell Westbrook? Or, like, it's weird fandom brain where you have to rationalize liking a player that you hated. I'm not quite sure.
Oh yeah, it would have been hell for those people if Chris Paul and the Thunder had beaten them in game seven.
Oh my God,
like, that would have been brutal.
Down one, like, Chris Paul had, what a fucking storybook ending, get traded to the Thunder and he could have beaten them in game seven with a buzzer beater.
That would have been very bad for Rockets fans. I actually was happy they sort of at least escaped that, you know, that storyline, because that they would have never heard the end of it, you know, especially if Harden had a, you know, another rough game where Lou Dort, of all guys, Canadian Lou
outshot
Dort.
Outshot him.
Yeah, like, outscores him, outshoots him. Yeah, that would have been bad. But now here they are. They're going to, I think it's still going to be a series versus the Lakers. I do. Just because they're such a weird team. That's just the honest truth about it. Yeah.
That's what everyone says, the high variance. If they make 53s, they'll win. If they miss, they'll lose. And that happens even within the game. Like, the third quarter, you're, holy shit. My friends text me, like, how did the Rockets come back? I'm like, the answer to all your questions is they made a lot of threes or they missed a lot of threes.
Yeah,
That's how they're up 20 or that's how they're down 20.
Right.
That's
they either missed 27 consecutive threes and then they lost a game they should have won. Or, they're back in this game because in the third quarter, they just, like, hit nine in a row.
Right.
And it's, like, not just one guy. You know, it's not like a Jamal Murray performance or something. It's, like, every guy out there is hitting threes and it's, like, contagious. Yeah. Outside of Westbrook, maybe, but, like, yeah, that's exactly right. So you just got to try and run them off the line, I guess, for the Lakers.
Right. But what's, like, D'Antoni saying at half? He's like, come on, guys. Like, remember, we only do one thing.
Right.
So just do that thing. There's no, like, strategy. There's not, like, actually, I have a new idea. Harden, pump fake and shoot a 21-footer. I tweeted, like, imagine PJ Tucker hitting a shot from, like, the free throw line extended. Imagine him shooting a shot from there.
Well, PJ Tucker, in the game seven, wasn't it game seven versus the Thunder? Or am I mixing it up with even game one in their victory over the Lakers? Maybe it was the game one. He pump faked in the corner, PJ Tucker, who's always going to let that fly in the corner. And he did drive in and he hit a little floater late. Like, I was like, whoa, it was like weird to see. Didn't know you could even do that.
D'Antoni's nose just starts to bleed. Holy shit, I have an idea. Fuck, get my fucking whiteboard X's and O's thing.
He draws it in blood from his nose.
18 footer. Let's try it. All right. Nona Rona, huge hit. I'm glad we did that. Worked out well. My last one was going to be Zubats, but he also had the Rona.
They all did it. I guess everybody did at one point. By the way, like when we came up with our segments back in the starters days, it was along those lines. I assume you did this too. Think up the great name of the segment first, then figure out what it is.
Exactly.
We always did that. Rona Nona. Is that something? Is Rona Nona something? Yeah, we can maybe do that. Let's try it.
Yeah, it's probably too insensitive to do on TV, but you know, that's why podcasts are here.
Oh yeah, Matty O would have shot that down instantly, our former producer. He would have been, there's no way we're doing that on TV.
Yeah, that's smart. He would be right and I would be wrong. All right. This one's kind of a stretch. Instead of A-OK, it's A-5K. Do you think there's any player in the NBA that you could beat today in a 5K race? You're a runner.
I think there's a lot of guys I could beat. In a 5K? I mean, that's a decent distance.
What's your best 5K? That's my 3.1 miles.
Yeah, my best 5K ever, a couple years ago now. I'm getting older. I've hit 40. 17 minutes and 32 seconds.
That's insane.
Which is pretty quick.
So fast.
Which is pretty quick.
Did you run like high school? Did you do cross country?
No, I did. I did cross country when I was in grade 8. And then I enjoyed it, but like I just did it. I think maybe because my friends were doing it even. And then I was playing all the other sports. And then I never ran in high school because grade 8 was pre-high school. Never, ever. Played all the other sports like soccer and basketball, of course, and volleyball. But no, never did that. But then just suddenly picked it up like in 2013. I was like, I enjoyed running. And you know what it really was? I started seeing on, I think it was like on Instagram. I was like, oh, these like cool looking run groups. I was like, oh, that's really cool. These people just look cool. Like, I'd like to go run a 5K and then have a beer after. You know, like, I like the idea of that. Like, that's something I'm into. Meet some new people and stuff like that. So I did it in Toronto before I moved down to Atlanta and then continued to do it in Atlanta with these run groups. And it's like a really cool way to do it. Like, running is such an individual sport, but there is this weird, cool community, I think, to it. Like this collective. So, yeah. And then I was like, I'm sort of good at running and I really like it. So I just sort of stuck with it. Yeah.
Yeah. It definitely is cool to run in a cool run group. That's true.
It is. It's fun.
Yeah. I don't like beer enough to be cool enough to run in a run group, unfortunately. Mm. So I'm like, I'm a guy who sort of jogs by himself listening to a podcast, then goes home and eats a bowl of cereal.
Well, that's fair. And that's me now too. You know, of course now in today's environment, I mean, you can't even play Rona Nona anymore. Yeah, I'm not doing the run groups as much. So I'm now running for me is like pure meditation. I've figured that out. Like I
can't look at your phone.
Yeah, like exactly. But I'm listening to a podcast, sometimes listening to music, but it is generally a podcast. And I just zone out and that I do like that. And I feel better when I'm back and all that, you know, I feel like I can drink a beer and I won't feel guilty or stuff like that too. So it all works perfectly. But I think I could smash a lot of these tall people at a 5K because being tall is not that beneficial for running long distance. So they're at a bit of a handicap there.
I also wonder if they never, like, do basketball players ever run 3 miles? Like, is that ever, like, necessary? They seem to do sprints, right?
Yeah, it's a lot of stop and go, which is, of course, very, very different than just straight on running a 5K or even longer. So, yeah, I don't know. Like, I know some of these. Remember they track these guys, how long they run in a game?
Yeah.
I'm pulling this.
CJ McCollum.
Yes, I was just going to say that. Yeah, yeah. But, like, what would he get up to in a game? I can't really remember. Like, how many miles would he have run in a game?
I can look it up. But
is it, like,
what would
you
guess?
Or three, I feel like? That sort of sounds right to me, yeah.
Yeah, distance per game.
But it's obviously, so much stop and go and timeouts and, like, just within play. So, I don't know.
1.5 miles per game.
Yeah, okay, so that's, like, it's obviously not a ton, which makes sense. I mean, they're only running, 90 feet at a time, if that. Yeah. I mean, you're not even running that, really.
Yeah.
So that's a weird one. But I would love to know who's the fastest, like, long-distance runner in the NBA. That intrigues me. Like, is it... I don't even know. I don't even know where to start. Like, is it...
Yeah.
Is it De'Aaron
J.J. Redick?
Fox? Yeah, like, is it... Exactly. Yeah, J.J. Redick is a good one. I mean, he's always running around. It can make sense. Like, just who has that endurance? Or who did it in... high school or something. Yeah. Someone.
Yeah. How many NBA players have run a half marathon in their life, let alone in the last like 10 years?
Great question. Would love to know how many. If you line them up, these are some of the most athletic people in the world. Could you line them up and say, hey, run a marathon?
I don't think, like, could Russell Westbrook run a marathon today just like from pure adrenaline?
My gut says no, but then I'm like, I don't know. Like, these are the most athletic people in the world. Like, could he power through it? Could he run a 4-hour, a 5-hour marathon? I guess. Like,
yeah, probably. No trainer would ever ask him to do that.
Right. So, put me down feeling pretty confident. I have no idea what percentage of these guys I could take in a 5K, but I think it's decently high.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
And if your life depended on it, who are you choosing to race against?
To beat?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Like a Jokic or something?
Yeah. Boban?
Boban? I mean, he'd have me for the first couple of steps and then, eat my dust, Boban. Any of the big guys, any of the Giants, there's not a chance.
All right. Similarly, this is a bet I made with Marty once. Marty, who is a runner just like yourself, or at least used to be, he had the opposite. He used to run in college and now stopped. You didn't run in college and started. We had a bet and we couldn't quite figure out the answer, but I said that there were NBA players that cannot dunk. And he says, that's insane. They're all athletic enough to run fast enough. Running fast is half of it. They can all do it, and they can all dunk a basketball.
Right.
So then we found some lists that said, like, which players haven't dunked in a game, but can they dunk in practice, and which can dunk in practice, or used to be able to, but can't dunk anymore. So where do you weigh in on that?
I think, okay, can J.J. Barea dunk?
That's a good question. That, so like, there's videos of him dunking on, like, Team Puerto Rico and, like, 2007, there's just no way to prove whether he can today.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, see, I think today
Raul
he could.
Raul Neto is another one.
Right. I mean, Steve Nash notoriously never dunked in an NBA game. Now, that doesn't mean Steve Nash couldn't dunk. Like, I think there is video of maybe him, like, throwing one down or something, too. or, you know what I mean. Like, the almost like us dunking a tennis ball at the peak of our athletic ability.
Right. Where you can almost just get throwing it. Yeah. Like, is that a layup or a dunk? It's hard to quantify. There's no like specific. Although like NBA Advanced Stats has like videos of everything. And I remember finding DJ Augustine has never dunked in a game. Or I was like, can DJ Augustine dunk? And NBA Advanced Stats had him dunking once. And like they even show you a clip. You see like these advanced stats are like every play by play.
Yeah.
So it's like I click on like DJ Augustine dunk and it was like a layup. I'm like, that's not a dunk. Like he can't dunk. They just said he can dunk, but they misclassified it in the box score.
I mean, I hear what Marty's saying. It's like to get to this level of this sport, you're obviously athletic and you're generally fast. That's true. Like, because you got to generate the speed to then catapult up and they have great control of their bodies, like all that. Like, that all makes sense. But I still think they're today, like, I think J.J. Barea in the league right now cannot dunk. Put me down.
Yeah, that's what I think. I think so as well.
Yeah, put me down just because of his age, his size. And, you know, injuries have come in even to play. I don't think so. But man, like if you were like, hey, JJ, $100,000 to the charity of your choice. Could he do it? I don't know. I mean, look, if you said to me, I'm 5'10", I'm fairly athletic, not NBA level athletic. I will admit that. But there's no way. I mean, you could give me 100 chances in one day. I'm not going to be able to dunk it.
Can you touch rim?
Now? I bet you I can't. I bet you I'd be very close, buddy. I mean, and this is tough for me to say because I'm overly confident in everything I do. no, I think the answer is no. I don't think I could. Could back in the day, definitely. But and it's a lot. I'm like a glider. I'm a jumper glider.
Yeah.
So it's like
distance long jump more
big
than
time, height. Big time. Even we're playing pickup hoops. People are like, where are you taking off from? I just have this weird ability to glide. But the up, the vertical, not as great as it used to be. So I would say, no, I cannot touch rim right now.
You have a great horizontal leap.
You don't hear that said enough.
Who's got the best horizontal in the NBA? I know anybody. Derek White, or what's his name? Derek Jones Jr. has a great vertical. What's his horizontal?
Wow. He actually, I bet, would have an awesome one. Because he, like, lifts his legs crazy when he dunks. He has, like, almost, he almost looks like a long jumper when he dunks at times, now that I think about it. Well, Mike Conley, his dad used to be a professional long jumper. I wonder if he just has it in him. Yeah, he knows the tricks of the trade.
Derek Jones Jr. seems to, he like jumps in the air and lets the wind like just sort of thrust him an extra few feet in the air.
Yeah,
he flies.
I love watching him dunk. It helps. It looks cool when a really skinny guy can jump that high too. Just something about it just looks cooler to me.
And he's a lefty, right?
Yep. Bonus points for that. Also looks
that
cooler.
Makes him cooler.
I think he's got a great horizontal jump though.
Yeah,
it's a good one.
I bet he's got the best horizontal in the NBA. Have you played basketball since March?
No.
Have you dribbled? Have you touched a basketball since
March? Yeah, so I do this weird thing where I watch these games because I've been watching nonstop basketball games. Like, I stand a lot because I get tired of sitting, obviously, in my chair here podcasting and even just watching. So, you know, I just like to hold the basketball, you know, practicing spinning it on a finger. I'll do it with a volleyball as well. A little easier just to kick around. If I want to get a quick kick in with a volleyball, it's a little more fun. But I've shot around a handful of times by myself. Handful. I'm talking like three times over.
Where?
Just at like, yeah, that's true. There are a lot of courts that the rims were taken down, especially in my neighborhood now where I am. But there are, you can find the odd one that they forgot about. And there's one, it's over by where I used to live, and Trey still lives there. It's in a park, and it's like, there's this slab of cement in this park, but it's not like a kid's park, so there's not a playground. It's like a wooden park. There's a slab of cement, and there is a, you know, there's a hoop that you would see in a driveway. So someone has put it there. And it's just there. And there's always a basketball there. So I think my best guess is the person that lives closest to this park, like you can see a house, obviously. It's like, it might be there as kids or something. And they just put it there. And they're like, who cares who uses it?
All right.
So I've shot around on that one.
I fear the first game back after 6 months, a bunch of 40-year-olds playing basketball for the first, like, we're all going to tear an Achilles heel.
Oh,
right? Like,
yeah. I was just going to say,
it's going to be dangerous.
Like, it's going to be bad. And then you're not going to want to go to the hospital, fear of the coronavirus there. So there's a lot of mending on your own. Oh yeah. I mean, you're right. Knock on wood, that doesn't happen. But, it hit me the other night. I was like, damn, I miss Wednesday night pickup ball. You know, like, I know you play a couple times and stuff like that. So
yeah. When are you ever going to feel comfortable playing basketball with 15 strangers again, sweating, breathing? Like, you have to be daily tested. We have to get into a bubble for a pickup game. I don't understand.
Yeah, I'd be really committed to your run. Okay, everybody, we're going into quarantine for 2 weeks. All right. two Wednesdays out. Okay, everybody enter. Wear your gear, though. Wear the same clothes you're going to wear for the run.
You do it for 2 weeks, you miss a free throw and can't even play. It's like, sorry, we're at capacity, brother. We needed 15. We have 16 in the bubble.
When you lose, you gotta say, we got next 2 weeks from now. Put your name down. That's
I'm gonna
horrible.
Go get rapid tested. It's gonna cost $95 per game we play.
So what's the over-under? If I set the over-under for you, Amir, I'm gonna go June 2021.
Ooh.
Before or after, what's your bet on you playing a game of pickup basketball?
I love questions like this. I've been answering questions like this since February. Mm. And I'm usually very pessimistic. So, like, I thought you'd say January, and I'd be like, oh, way over.
Yeah,
so you said a good line.
Back.
June. Yeah. I think I'll take the under.
Okay. So the prior.
Which is very optimistic for me. Okay. Yeah. Which is like 8 months away. And I think it won't be a vaccine. It'll be a rapid test. Like, we'll all be able to get tested at 9 a.m. and get the results by 10.
Okay.
For like $40. And then we'll be able to play basketball.
And so what? You're going to then show me when you come onto the floor? Like,
yeah. That's
hey,
right.
Look at me.
Everyone has to show their negative result. I think that's the only way to do it.
Otherwise, well, that's how we make teams
knows?
Now? Negative and positive results?
Instead of shirts for skins. Negative versus positive.
Rona versus Nona. Who are you rolling with tonight? Ooh, unfortunately, I'm on Rona tonight. Well, you got a good team, though. Good team. Got some height.
Yeah. Nobody's guarding them, obviously. Who wants to stay within 6 inches, body them down low with a fucking coronavirus?
Yeah, yeah. You just leave them wide open. I mean, you get a bunch of shooters on Team Rona, it's a victory.
Social distance. Leave them 6 feet.
Oh.
Wow. Wearing a mask while playing basketball.
Oh, wow. That's next level. Yeah. Could we create basketball social distance rules apply? So you have to stay away all the time.
Yeah.
6 feet from each other. Like, we can wear those like giant like rings you've seen maybe some people wore. No. Do you ever see that clip going around? People at the beginning of it all were like wearing like a giant hula hoop to create space for yourself.
6 feet.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so crazy. Or, you know, the masks for the broken nose, if you just slide them down over your mouth. So
right?
You still got like the plastic, but it's just like down here. It's almost like a hockey goalie mask.
Yeah, right. Okay, so you're taking prior to June 2021. You'll be okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Vaccine that's somewhat effective, and then it'll have to be like a private game, like not at like a public park, but like maybe somebody's house is like a half court, and then rapid testing. Hopefully, all those three things together by May will come together and let us play basketball again.
And then what if you're just horrible because you haven't played in so long? What if you just like, God, I hate this now?
Yeah, I was already bad, so like I can't get much worse. It won't be like, shit, I was so good and now I can't fucking make a shot. I will go from a pretty poor shooter to like, and then taking a full year off to like shooting a basketball again. How much worse can it get? I mean, what's Westbrook shooting from three? 18%?
Yeah, probably.
I could do that.
Yeah. Yeah, you're probably good. So you don't have your own little setup there. You don't have your own net, obviously.
No, I was thinking of just like buying like a hoop and like putting it on my roof or something just to like practice. But like,
oh,
I don't
God,
have
the, don't do that. Have you never seen a what was that movie? what's the
like
movie?
Mike?
No,
Flubber?
I can't think of the basketball. There's a, I can't remember if it's it's Above the Rim. Yeah, it's Above the Rim. Start of Above the Rim. The guy falls off the rooftop. They're playing basketball on the roof.
Oh yeah, no, sorry. I'm not gonna play on the roof. I'm gonna put the rim, attach it to my roof, and then play like in my backyard.
Oh, I got you. Outside. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you meant
just like
on your roof.
Basically build like a key. Like that's the only space I have.
Yeah.
Is like 15 feet by 10 feet.
That's all you need, man. You could be practicing your free throws, yeah.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
All right. I'll look into it.
Okay.
All right. Last segment. Actually, maybe a few more. Okay, let's do two more segments. Okay. Three more segments, and then we're out.
Yeah, okay.
Couple. We really got to go. 10 segments, then we're done.
Then we'll call it. Yeah.
Lou, are you again? Is the name of the segment.
Okay.
So it's NBA players like Lou Dort. But not Lou Dort, because we know who they are, that you haven't thought about in 6 months. I'll start.
Wow.
I'll start with Cam Reddish, just to get the ball rolling. What's another basketball player you haven't thought about since February? A name you haven't heard since the All-Star break.
Right. A name I have not... Oh, give me an Eric Paschal.
It's pretty good.
Yeah,
it's pretty good. Although, did you hear some scuttlebutt with Paschal about the Rookie of the Year award? Maybe.
No. His name wasn't even brought up.
His name wasn't even on the list of like third place vote getters.
Actually, now that you say that, was he one of the finalists? I can't remember now.
Yeah.
If he was, wow, I didn't even care to look or remember his name at that point. So,
all right,
here's okay, who you got?
Me, Juancho Hernan Gomez.
Oh, that's a good one.
Is that's he on a, the Hornets? The Knicks?
He got moved for sure this past season. That's a great question. Who he play for? How about, you know, we're getting into the, soon we're getting into the Christmas spirit. What about a Darius Garland?
He was a, no, this year? Yes, no. Yes, he was a rookie this year.
He was a rookie this year, Darius Garland.
That's great.
Try and wrap your head around that. Yeah.
Yeah. What's Garland? Like, the Cavs will go from February to December without playing a meaningful game of basketball. Forget me. I hope Garland's shooting free throws in his backyard. Like, what? That's a long time to take off.
Super, super long time. All right. Who else you got?
I got to be honest with you. Cam Reddish was the only one that popped. Because these are people that by definition, are ones that I've forgotten about entirely.
Wow. Okay. Well, let me have you thought in the last 6 months about Bobby Portis.
No. That's no. A great...
Why would you? Why would you think about those crazy eyes?
Yeah, what's Bobby Portis doing? What is he up to? Are they practicing in a gym? Like, I see pickup of Trey Young playing basketball. Like, right. What's going on there?
Yeah, how many of these guys that didn't come down to the bubble because their teams didn't make it? Yeah, what have they done? You can see why a little bit. Like, remember there was the talk of like there being a second bubble, and yeah, the delete eight, exactly. Like, where could they do it? Could they just bring them down to Walt Disney World and like just do it in another gym? Could they do it in Chicago or Vegas? And like, it sounds so silly. Like, at first you're like, who fucking cares about you guys? Sorry, there's playoff basketball going on. But then you take a step back, and what you just said, like, you can understand why those organizations would want to get their guys together and actually like see if they're in shape, you know, get some competitive, you know, juices flowing again, play 5-on-5, because they're going to be, I mean, aren't they just going to be at the most insane disadvantage, like, when we ever do have the next season, if they haven't been around? I mean, right, or... Well. Are those eight teams going to be the best eight teams because they're super rested?
Yeah. Imagine taking a year off in the middle of your career, not due to injury, just like a fucking sabbatical.
Yeah. Do you come back stronger?
Caleb Martin.
Oh, what about his not twin Cody. Brother, Cody?
No, Cody we talk about all the time. I'm not even bringing him up. I'm talking about strictly Caleb Martin. What do you know about Caleb? Cody aside for now. I'm talking strictly Caleb.
Caleb. Wow. Do you think we talk about Caleb? No, wait. Do you think we talk about Cody more than Caleb?
I would have to say so. Oh, if I say the Martin twins, who do you think of first? Cody.
I think Caleb. And that's where we're so different. That's where we're so different, man.
There's two kinds of basketball fans. They always say.
Those two are like, they're next to impossible to like, differentiate between the two of them too.
They're like, played identically too. It's bizarre.
They're like the like, I remember actually this a while ago. For all I know, it could have been this year. Feels like 10 years ago. But I remember watching a Hornets game, and I will admit I don't think I knew that they were both on the Hornets.
Yeah.
And I shared this clip. It was like obviously they were focused on somebody else on the broadcast, and they went to the Hornets bench, and like, Caleb or Cody, I don't know which one it was, sort of walked into the shot, and then another one walked into the shot. Like, it was like so Matrix-like, like the glitch. Like, it was crazy. Like, where I sort of shrieked, like, because I didn't know there was two of them. I really don't. You know, I don't follow the Martins twins. I was freaking out. So I'm like checking Basketball Reference. I'm like, are there two of them? And then, of course, there are.
Did they ever play at the same time?
What's that?
Did they ever play at the same time?
My gut would say yeah. I'm sure they got some minutes out there. I'd have to call up John Schumann to confirm that, but
yeah. Same exact player. It must be, like, if you can find the best player in the NBA and his twin, that's like the equivalent of cloning LeBron James. You can have a fresh LeBron every quarter.
Right. I mean, do you think if we get a Clippers-Lakers conference finals, which, you know, knock on wood, we hopefully will, because I think that's the series everybody wants to see, the Battle of LA.
Yeah.
Would you put it past the Morris twins to swap teams during the series and just not tell anybody?
And would anybody know?
Oh, I don't know how. There would be no way us, the viewer, would know. Now, people around the team, yeah, I think they'd have a better idea. But us, there's no way.
Especially if Keith is hitting 4 threes in a quarter. That could be Marcus easily.
Right.
I guess the only main difference is that Markieff hasn't actively tried to injure anyone. So as soon as like someone like, oh, wait a second, why would Markieff like step on that guy's foot? Like, that doesn't seem like a Keith move. That's a classic Marcus maneuver.
Right. Or why did Marcus help that opponent up off the floor? That's not good. Are we sure that's not Keith?
These twins, those twins are super identical. I think they have matching tattoos too.
They do. Now, what do you think about that?
That's a little weird.
That's little weird. Let's call it for what it is. That's very weird.
Yeah.
And I am not one of these people. I'm not one of these people freaked out by twins. My my sister-in-law is legit scared of identical twins. Like, it's a bit of a phobia. She's also, by the way, married to a twin. But they're not identical. But so I have no problem with it, and I think it's actually very, very cool. I think it's like fascinating. But yeah,
is that
like,
why you shrieked when you saw Caleb?
I mean, no, yes, I have a phobia. But the tattooing, I mean, you don't want to have any individualism, you know, between you and your brother or your
sibling.
That's
like the one way to get it. Yeah. I wonder if Marcus is like, hey, I'm going to get like fucking a sleeve. And Markeith's like, yeah, that's cool. I'll get the identical sleeve.
Yeah. And then like, if that's the case, do you get a discount?
Two for one?
The tattoo artist is doing the exact same thing.
Well, I think you have to go to a twin. So you'd have to get the tattoos at the same time.
Holy. Wow. I didn't think of that. That's next level. They're doing them at the exact same time. See this part? We got this part inked at the exact same time. How's that possible? You had the same guy. No.
Nope. Twins.
We found these two guys, Rona and Nona.
All right, last segment. I don't even know why I wrote this. Pie me to the moon, okay? Mm. Pie me to the moon.
Okay.
Like, you know, that Frank Sinatra song for whatever reason.
I was going to say, hold on. Is that a saying? Pie me to the moon?
Fly me to the moon.
Oh, yeah. I know that part. But pie me to the moon is...
That's the pun. The pie is the part of the...
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Give me a pie chart right now of finals probability, NBA champion probability in your head as it stands. I'll try to figure out the math with you.
Yeah. Okay. So we've got... I mean, technically, as of recording this, we've got 8 teams.
Yep.
Still in the mix.
Why don't we start from the bottom?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to work my way backwards. So the Bucks are in the hole. I don't think
Sorry, I forgot to do. Pie me to the moon. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
And then it's you.
You got all the right, stinger.
So, yeah.
Okay. I get, like, where do you put the Bucks? Now, at the start of this podcast, I've almost convinced myself the Bucks are going to do this.
History.
I'm going to give the Bucks 1%.
Great.
Okay, that seems even, maybe that's like being kind, but 1%. Yeah,
the slice that's so thin, like it's not even written in it. They have to like have a line that comes out of it. Like, by the way, this thin little sliver, that's the Bucks' chances.
Frank Slinatra.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Slin because of slice?
I don't know.
Sorry, you said Frank Slinatra.
Yes, I did.
Between his real name is the L. So why? And then I said, oh, because of slice. And you said, I don't know. So what did you mean by that?
Because Frank I think Slinatra. I thought for a second that Slin was a word. Because it sounds sort of like a word. It sort of sounds, of course, like slice and thin. A thin slice is a thin slice is a Slin. Frank Slinatra works. Okay. So 1%.
I'll allow it. Allow it.
1%.
We're going to review that. We'll take a
look. Oh, great. All right. Well, see you in 10 minutes. Just sit here.
We'll allow it. All right.
All right. Sweet.
A thin slice is a Slin. So Frank Slinatra's Pie Me to the Moon has the Bucks at 1% probability of winning the championship. Okay. Next team.
Okay. Yeah. Who goes next? I think I would make the Nuggets my next team. Ooh. Yeah.
Makes sense.
Let me go. Let me just go 5%. No, let's do this. Let's go 4% for the Nuggets.
Great. I like the way you're thinking ahead.
Yeah.
Keep it so round.
I got 95 remaining. And I like the Nuggets. And I just don't think they're going to beat the Clippers. I just think they're outclassed. And then they would have to, you know, potentially beat, of course, the Lakers and then somebody else in the finals. So that's not going to happen. So 4%. Now, look, now it gets personal for me. The Michael Jordan meme. Now it gets personal.
You are holding an iPad.
Yeah. Because it's like, do I go Raptors who are trailing in their series versus the Celtics? I'm coming on a day after my Raptors lose a pivotal game 5. Just got their asses handed to them.
Yeah, that wasn't okay.
That was downright embarrassing, I'll be honest. But still, I still believe they win in 7. I will go... Because now it's like a bunch of these teams are the same to me, if I'm being honest. It's like the Heat, the Raptors, who I still believe in, and the Celtics are all really, really like... I don't know, 15% each?
Yeah, but one is much more likely to get to the conference finals. You got to bake that into the equation.
The Heat being
like
much more likely. Yeah,
than the Raptors.
That's a good point. Okay, let me do this then. 15% for the Raptors and the Celtics. No. See, here's the problem with what you're saying. I think the Raptors or Celtics beat the Heat, no matter who gets there.
Yeah.
So I would have them higher in my chances. But let me give the Heat 15%.
Okay.
I want to give them all 15%. Don't talk me out of my pie chart, all right?
I love that. I love that. All right, because then you're at an even 50 for the remaining three? No, three. You haven't said the Rockets yet.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. This is perfect. I'm going to go 20%. I'm going to go 25% for...
You're running out of slices. No, you're going to need another pie.
No, I'm not. I do not need another pie. 25% for the Clippers, 20% for the Lakers, and then the remaining 5, I'm going to go to the Rockets. Now, I feel like that might be a little too low. A little bit, just a little bit. I could have pumped that up a bit. But, you know, if I have that right, I had Bucks at 1%, I had the Nuggets at 4%, I had the Rockets at 5%. I had the Heat, the Raptors, the Celtics at 15%, Lakers at 20%, Clippers at 25%. Did that add up?
That adds up. I think so. I think that adds up. Yeah, 55 and then 45 between the Lakers and Clippers.
That's pretty damn impressive if I did that correctly.
I think that works.
On the fly, yeah.
Unless I too am wrong. All right, that's a great pie chart. No notes about your pie chart.
How do you feel about the actual look of the pie chart, though, with the percentages for each team? How do you feel about the designations that I've given there?
Like, would I have the Clippers at 4-1 odds to win the championship? Is that what you're asking me?
Right, yeah.
I would maybe have the Clippers higher, sadly, as much as I don't want them to win. But here's something interesting. 538 has their own pie chart. You know, they got their own Raptor ratings. They got stuff for the election. And they're like, all right, let's just fucking start predicting basketball, too.
Right.
Here's what worries me. They have, in the election, they have Trump at 30%. And I'm like, okay, well, that's at least he's not likely to win, but it seems a little high. But then I look at their basketball predictions and I'm like, oh god, if it's the same accuracy as their basketball predictions, I don't like this at all. Trump could be a 99%. They could be that wrong. They have the number one team right now, chance of winning the finals at 36%, dwarfing your Clipper pick, is the Boston Celtics.
Wow.
So they got the Celtics probably beating the Raptors and then being favored against the Heat, and then like at that point it's a coin flip in the finals. So they have the Celtics number one at 36%.
Okay, seems high. seems a little high to me, but like I said, I would have them beating the Heat if they were to knock off the Raptors, which they
won't.
Right. Yes,
right. And if that was it, I wouldn't be too worried about their political projections, but here's where it gets a little too wacky for me.
Okay.
At 26%, higher than your Clippers prediction, the Houston Rockets, the number two team in the that's their projection, their chance of winning the finals according to their Raptor player ratings, the formula, the algorithm that they've devised.
Right, they're high on Austin Rivers.
I guess so. For whatever reason, they think the fucking Rockets have a 4-1 chance. If they give the Rockets the same chance as Trump, which is, I guess, kind of comforting, because then it's like, okay, if you think Trump and the Rockets have the same chance of winning, I will hitch Trump's chances to the Houston Rockets and let it play out. Yeah.
Sure. Some ups and downs.
Yeah.
For sure.
Clippers number three at 19%. So they're roughly the same
in
as
in the ballpark.
Yeah. Then they have the Heat at 12% chance. And then they have the Lakers at 5%. They only giving the Lakers a 20-1 chance to win the championship.
And so again, this is like based heavily on like player metrics, right? Like individual players within that team. So LeBron and AD are going to have obviously huge whatever, but then it's the rest of the Lakers squad maybe bringing them down, I assume, is what is happening. Yeah,
I guess so, because then the Raptors are at 2% and the Nuggets and Bucks are below 1%.
Right. Well, take all of that and throw it out, because if I remember correctly, 538 fucked up the 2016 presidential predictions. Calling it for Clinton.
Hillary. Yeah.
Saying, no way Trump can win this. Whoops. Somebody put in the wrong number, I guess.
That being said, if you're listening to this in October and it's a Celtics-Rockets finals, and be very afraid of Trump's chances then.
Yeah.
Maybe they know more than we do.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. They are very smart. They're very intelligent. Yeah, that's quite low. The Lakers at 5. I mean, that should be higher. When you have a healthy LeBron and you've got AD, I mean, you're just going to be higher. In any series, you're going to have a good chance to win it, regardless of the rest of your team.
I think it's looking at players in a vacuum. They're like, LeBron James is one player, AD is one player, and the rest of their team is mediocre, so let's give them 5%. But
this makes sense, which is why you could see the Celtics being as sort of high as they are in this, because they do have they got a lot of obviously very talented young players and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. But what's not being accounted for here is the fact that, like, in a 5-on-5, the Lakers will have the best duo in the NBA. Would right. you agree with that? Like, when you have LeBron and then AD as his running mate, like, starting with there, them giving 100%, that's a formidable opponent.
Yes, yes. I wouldn't have any other twosome left, of course, or probably in the league entirely. Yeah, you would have above them, for sure. And as much as, like, I, of course, love Kawhi Leonard, having seen what he did with the Raptors last year, and you compare him with Paul George, who at times is unbelievable, don't get me wrong, and they're both great defensive players. That one's tough. I mean, those two guys are so talented defensively. It's fair to, like, compare them in a way to a LeBron AD if it's just, like, who are the two best, you know, twosomes here if we're playing NBA Jam, although yeah. defense doesn't matter in NBA Jam. The guy can jump 20 feet in the air and do a helicopter dunk, so defense is not that big of an issue. But then again, AD's incredible in that end, and LeBron, when he locks in, is, like, still one of the best. So he just picks his spots now because of his age and stuff like that. So I would still take the Lakers, yeah.
Yeah, but in a Lakers-Clippers Western Conference Finals potential.
Man, I will admit to not being that impressed by, I guess, sort of both teams to some extent, but really the Clippers, like, they were my preseason pick and then, you know, pre-bubble pick. But what I've seen from them when they lock in, when they don't coast, they're incredible, but they do coast. And I can't decide, is that impressive that they have that ability to sort of turn it on, or is that worrisome, right?
Yeah.
We've seen LeBron's teams in the past be like that, and, you know, sometimes it's worked out for him, and sometimes, of course, it hasn't. I don't know. I guess I still take the Clips as of today in a close series with the Lakers. It'd probably be a 6 or 7 game series, but yeah.
Yeah, I think if the Lakers beat the Clippers, it's one of the most impressive LeBron performances, because, like, it just shows you that he's so good. He's, like, better than players 3 through 12. Like,
right.
He's so above Kawhi that Kawhi is the players 3 through 12 advantage, and LeBron would still win.
But that's where the Clippers have not impressed so far, right? They still have time. Players, like, 3 through 12 have not been that great for them here down there in the bubble, in my opinion. Yeah. Like, Lou Williams, you know, it hasn't been pretty. Montrezl Harrell, sixth man of the year, has been garbage. Straight up garbage.
Why is that?
I don't know.
Dealing with grandma stuff.
Yeah, he had a lot of, obviously, personal issues and was late to the bubble. Same with Lou. I mean, getting wings at Magic City and all that. That was a storyline. That was this year. That was, like, recently. That feels like years ago.
Wasn't that in Atlanta? Isn't that near you?
Yeah, it's Magic City.
Have you been?
Oh, yeah. Famous strip club. I've never had the wings.
Interesting.
You won't believe this. I wasn't going to that strip club for the wings. But
I did see you in the background of the Lou Williams picture, by the way. So that was you there. You were with him, right?
I was the one taking the video. It wasn't Jack Harlow or whatever his name was, that rapper. Magic City is a blast in Atlanta. That's an institution. And the food is apparently incredible. But I've never thought about going to a strip club for food.
Yeah, that's where you and Lou will differ. And that's the only thing that you guys differ about.
Yeah. He blocked me on Twitter.
And on the court. Why did he block you on Twitter?
I think it's because I tweeted something once as a compliment about him having two girlfriends at the same time. I think it was something along those lines. I'm pretty sure it was. And then I, like, realized, I must have just noticed, like, a month or two later. I was like, oh, he blocked me. Weird.
He seems like, if you're in the NBA and you're so cool and you have two girlfriends and you're so cool and you're just Lou Williams and he's just the man, you're not blocking people
exactly.
on Twitter.
Like, that's exactly.
Like, that's a dork move.
Big time. He's not that cool.
Do you block people on Twitter?
Hell yeah.
I never block.
But I try to keep that very, very minimal. Yeah. I mean, do you mute?
No, I know. I don't know if the trolls don't annoy me or if I just don't have enough of an audience to have enough hater. Like, who are you blocking? Who are you muting? Like, the guy that likes... You know what? That's not true. There's this one guy who constantly tweeted like... pro-Trump things to me on my political tweets, and then, like, on my non-political, like, he's just like, why don't you say anything about this? Why don't you talk about this? I'm just like, I muted that guy.
You just get tired of it. You're just like, I don't want to look at this. But no, I'm never have blocked, like, anyone because I've took offense to their NBA take or something.
Right.
Especially or because they told me I had two girlfriends or something like that. No, I don't know. Maybe, you know, best guess, someone runs Sweet Lou's account. Didn't like it that day and said,
yeah, that's true.
Get out of here. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
And I actually don't 100% even know that's why. Maybe I said something else. Maybe I got crazy one night. I don't think so. I really don't. I love Sweet Lou. Because he used to play for the Raptors and he won six man and stuff like that. So I don't know, but that's a weird one. And you are right. I mean, that's a very dorky thing in a weird way. For especially a guy like Lou Williams to care about enough to block me. But
I think you're right about social media manager there.
I think so. I think so.
But you're saying Lakers have a chance against the Clippers, but you would, if it was just a pie chart of Lakers-Clippers in a conference finals...
55-45 Clippers.
I mean, I'll take that.
I'm very, very, very close. I said, you know, with this series with the Rockets and then, of course, moving forward, okay, LeBron and AD, they're a lock for whatever they're going to get, which is, of course, a combined, like, let's say it's 60 to 70 points. Like, that's basically, you can put it in pen, put it in marker, that they're going to get that for the most part every night. It's all the other Lakers guys. Like, can they contribute? Or can you take them away? And it's obviously a mixture of both. So it's like Kuzma's got to be big. He's got to, obviously, he did great the other night attacking the offensive glass, contributing in that way. Rondo gave them great defensive minutes, which was like jarring to see. I can't remember the last time Rondo, is down in a defensive stance. And like
stole the ball in the backcourt, like Avery Bradley style.
Yeah, making nice plays. Danny Green, of course, he hit some threes. I've lived through the Danny Green experience, even as a, you know, the 1 year as a Raptor player. He will go ice cold for games. He'll be hitting the side of the backboard on corner threes. It's really ugly. And then when Danny Green gets going, we've seen it, of course, in the finals before. We've seen it again with the Raptors. He'll just like, he'll have games where he's like, you can pencil, or, you know, basically pencil him in for like three or four threes made. So anyway, it's all these other Lakers guys that if they contribute, I think they're, you know, of course, just as best, just as good as the Clippers are. So. Yeah, it's I'm not worried about AD or LeBron. I mean, they're some of the best players in the game. It's all these other guys that you need them to contribute to win a title, in my opinion.
Yeah, one more pro Lakers question, just because I like hearing it from a non-biased opinion.
Right.
There's this thing going around, not really it's not really new, but everyone's like, you know, come playoff time, Kawhi's the best player in the NBA. It's kind of widely accepted.
Yeah,
and I think. I still have LeBron over Kawhi in like a best of whatever, like one series, LeBron is giving his all, Kawhi's giving his all. I think I still have LeBron above Kawhi.
Tough, because Kawhi has had success on LeBron in playoff settings. I mean, he just has. I mean, he's that good. He's that strong. He's that smart. He still deserves like that superstar type whistle too. The respect, of course, from officials. So that's
I'm not saying Kawhi is not great. I'm saying like
no, I know.
1 and 2, even 1A, 2A, 1A, 1B. But I still have just having when the ball is in LeBron's hands, as a fan rooting for him on my team, it's like a very surreal experience. I'm like, this guy is the biggest, the strongest, the fastest, and he's also the smartest basketball player. Like it's watching a genius. I really appreciate it. Like, I don't really love like classical music, so I don't really know like how to appreciate that, but like I know basketball very well, and like everything he's doing right now is like dribbling one step to the right to change the defense like this and finding the like he's a maestro, a genius on the court. Like, he's controlling nine other players, and I don't think any other player does that.
No, probably not to the extent that he does. The flip side of that is Kawhi is just a machine, and it's like
he's so strong.
He knows where he's gonna go, and he just goes there. And it's like, doesn't matter what your game plan is, he's still gonna get to the elbow, rise up, get a great look at it, and you know, more times than not, hit it. And then, yeah, then the other part is can he be the one guy that sort of like does get LeBron a little bit out of his flow? And I think, again, he's proven that he can do that. He's done it before. Now, I know these are sometimes long series ago, but, or years ago, but, you know, there is some history there that he can do it, because he does have the physical capabilities. He's obviously just as intelligent on the basketball floor. And it's worked. So I hope, I mean, look, we're going to get a Clippers Lakers series. We're going to find out the answers to these. I mean, I hope we are. Yeah.
Every game, it's a Laker game or a Clipper game. And I'm like rooting very hard for the Lakers, rooting very hard against the Clippers. And it's just like, I feel like I'm trying to stop these two trains that are inevitably going to collide.
Yeah, yeah.
And we want three. Oh, maybe there's a chance that the no, it's not happening.
No,
the Nuggets
no.
win a game. Like, oh, maybe that. No, it's going to be the Lakers and it's going to be the Clippers, and it's going to they're going to give me what I deserve, which is the Clippers beating the Lakers and then playing the Celtics in the finals, and that's the perfect shitty end to this shitty year. A series I don't want to watch, or teams I don't want to root for. I don't even know what I'm going to do if it's the Celtics versus the Clippers in the finals.
You just stop watching it.
I just don't know. Like, I'm watching. It's like there was a Super Bowl a couple years ago. It was like Philly versus New England. And like the New York fans were like, I hate both of these teams so much. I don't want to see any of them celebrate. I don't want to see the Celtics happy. I don't want to see the Clippers outsmart the Lakers and win a first championship ever. Right. I don't want either of those things to happen. I don't know what I'm rooting for. I guess an outbreak? Is that crazy? Is that selfish of me? That I wish that maybe the families come in and Paul George's girlfriend gives it to nine other people and
wow.
they cancel the finals? Like, yeah, maybe it's a little selfish of me to wish for that, to hope for that, to pray for that, to want it so badly in my bones so that the finals doesn't happen. But I don't know. That's what being a fan is about, I guess. Irrational fandom.
You sound like a crazy person.
Although, if I went to the bubble, like, I can almost... You've seen Celtic Pride, right?
Yes, yes. So go on.
They kidnapped a Boston player, which is not that dissimilar from what I'm inquiring about, which is infecting a Celtic player. No, it was a Celtic player, right?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. So if I can somehow get into the bubble as like a worker, an essential worker of sorts, because they say that the people coming into the bubble to clean and feed the players and their families aren't necessarily getting tested every day.
Wait, are you sending your resume right now to Disney World? What are you typing over there?
I think I'm actually overqualified, yeah. I've worked 15 years in the food service industry, because, I don't know, I did a NatureBox ad back in the day or two, so that'll qualify me. And then, holy shit, I'm in.
Oh, damn it.
They're so fast. I guess not a lot of people want to work there.
I guess not. I think your plan's going to work perfectly.
The Michael Jordan cheeseburger thing, but with coronavirus.
Yeah,
Oh, no, it was the pizza. They all showed up to deliver him his cheese pizza.
Oh, right, right, right.
A flu on it? How did they?
Oh, who knows?
Did we ever get to the bottom of that? How you infect a pizza?
Yeah, we did it.
With food poisoning?
And it was like they were saying like five guys showed up to deliver the pizza to, like somehow got into this hotel to take it up there. Like, what? No, they didn't.
Also, if they were pranking, why all five guys have to go? Do they all have to, Captain America style, all they put in different little ingredients right before the pizza is given?
The best like reason I've heard, and it maybe makes the most sense, is because we, of course, this, I think it came all up in The Last Dance, right? MJ ordered the pizza, didn't want to share it with everybody else in the room.
That's right.
So he purposely basically spit on it. He coughed on it, right?
Yeah.
That's how this the story goes.
Pre-corona time, so.
Right. And so then there are some people that are convinced he actually made himself sick because he smoked so many cigars that he like spit all the carcinogenic stuff from the cigars onto his pizza and then consumed that and got sick. I'm serious. That's what some people think. This is why
getting
he had the flu.
Food poisoning from yourself?
Self. From your own cigar spittle.
That's some fucking goat shit. Like, I've been talking about LeBron, but like not even he would think about doing that shit.
No, no. And that's when it became personal for Michael Jordan.
That's when it became a personal pizza for Michael Jordan. Four slices with chopped up cigars, his little pet
leaves. That's what he puts on his pizza. Little cigar leaves.
Ah, good stuff. Way to end the app. All right, favorite segment? We're thinking Rona or Nona.
I think, I mean, it has.
Pie me to the moon.
Yeah, no, I think Rona or Nona has the best name for sure. It's the most memorable. Now it is like, yeah, like I'm sure some people are going to be like, oh, you can't do that.
Yeah.
You can't do that. Very insensitive.
By the way, which, these are all sure. open for you if you want to take some for.
Oh, thank
the
you.
No
thank
screw.
You.
Yeah.
No, it is nice to slip them into the podcast. You're right. You just take a normal, hey, we could just talk about this, or we could put it, we could absolutely jam this thing into a weird game we've made up, make it way more convoluted,
yeah.
make it to the point where you don't even understand what we're talking about, but hey, it'd be a lot of fun. That's our specialty.
Because we get a graphic out of it.
Yes, yes.
All right, sir. Again, the name of your show?
No Dunks Podcast.
That's right. And people can just find it wherever they listen to any podcast, right?
We are everywhere. We also put the show up on YouTube. We go live on YouTube generally 10 a.m. Eastern every day here throughout the playoffs. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. So you can actually jump in the YouTube chats, and we like have figured it out that we can, like, if somebody says something funny or makes a great point, we can pull up comments now, like, on the fly and address those. So yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Yeah.
It's like a it's a online show.
Yeah, TV it's basically show. A version of the Starters at this point, because we're all zooming from our you know, our offices and stuff like that. But yeah, No Dunks, it's on Apple, it's on iTunes, whatever, it's on Spotify, it's on the Athletic app. You know, if you're a subscriber to the Athletic, you can get it without the ads. Though I don't know why you would ever want to listen to our podcast without the ad reads, because some people are saying it's our best work.
Wow. You know, I have been thoroughly enjoying your ad reads. We got Taz singing about... Yep. Was that a furniture company?
Yeah, Taz was doing a bare naked ladies impersonation about Burrow, which is a sofa furniture company. We've had Lee telling stories about trying to get frisky with his wife on his wedding anniversary, and that was a Manscaped ad.
That makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, we've had a lot of fun with the ads.
That's good. Yeah. That's what makes podcast ads so special, is that people don't want to fast forward through them.
That's exactly right. I mean, this stuff is gold. I mean, we should be asking for more money, let's be honest, at this point, for Manscaped.
You deserve it. Yeah. Sweet. Thank you so much for coming by this show, and thanks to you guys for listening at home. Maybe I'll pull some clips from this one, No Dunk style, and post them online somewhere.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me, man.
Of course. And we'll be back, I don't know, a week, 2 weeks, 4 weeks. It's not as regular as No Dunks. I apologize. I'm sorry, everybody. There's not that many people listening. They don't care. All right, bye, everybody.
That was a HeadGum podcast.